like you and I are sitting here having a conversation.
Right.
I don't know where it's going to go next. And you like bring up a rhetorical question. And then the guys, no fault on them, they're going to put it on social media. They're like, oh, this was kind of a, right? This was an interesting question or whatever. And then everybody on social media takes it as your take.
Right. Right.
Which is like the whole.
Well, those words came out of your mouth.
Stand on it.
Right.
Stand on what you say. Stand on what you do.
Yeah, I will. I will ask the question. I can't stand the phrase Super Bowl or bust. I've never liked it. So what I was actually doing was trying to challenge the people who used it to say, what does that mean?
What does what mean?
So what does your bust mean? What does your bust
Thank
mean?
You.
So, because it looks like we're like knocking on the door of bust, right?
Right.
And Super Bowl or bust?
I told you
bust
what that means.
Bust is a big old favorite.
Right.
So I'm challenging people to say, what does that mean to you? Is it just you getting frustration off your chest?
No.
Or are you suggesting fill in blank? And you did yesterday.
Right.
You said changes.
Yes, David
below.
Bowie. Changes.
But not like firing Kyle and John and Parag.
No. They're Teflon.
Right.
They're Teflon for now. If you go 8-9, then next year, you're not on the hot seat. But if you go 8-9 this year, and then next year starts the way this year started, now we can have a different conversation. 12 months from now. 12 months from now, if you've gone 9-8 over the course of those games with a quarterback that you just decided to pay X amount of millions of dollars, well, now we can start to think about, like, what are we actually looking
at? Yes, I think the leash is even longer than that.
And you're probably right.
Personally. But I also would argue that means we need to change the word. I know it's catchy, Super Bowl or bust.
It's a phrase.
The word bust means it didn't work.
Well, for me,
and it's
bust
kind of
means
over. Like Trey Lance is a bust. That means it didn't work, at least with the Niners.
He was one pick away from playing last
James
night.
James Wiseman. I don't know why he's not playing now. Why the hell did you acquire him if you're not going to play him in this scenario?
No doubt.
You're now 3-7. You suck out loud. Cooper Rush is not a player. Guru, I'm sorry.
He had a couple good drives last
night. He is not a player. That's not a player. You're not going anywhere. You're actually going to be helped by getting a better draft pick. Why would you acquire Trey Lance if you're not going to put him in now? I don't even understand that.
Agreed. Agreed.
I don't understand that.
And they have seven more to go, so maybe now
maybe they will.
Is the time. But for me, the idea of Super Bowl or bust means not that you're going to break the whole thing apart and fire Kyle and fire John and fire everybody and sell the team. That's nonsense. But you will have to take a look at your process. And you and I always go back and forth about process versus results.
Sure.
You're a process guy. I'm a results guy. And if your results are negative, then you do have to look at your process.
Of course.
And your process has been Kyle Shanahan does everything. That's been the majority of the process.
Right.
He is like the de facto GM. He's the play caller. He's the head coach. He controls the red hanky, the timeouts, the clock management. I know he does get some advice on some of that stuff from up above upstairs. But for me, the process would be something you'd have to look at.
I also struggle with this. And then this is my bet in terms of how Jed York would handle this conversation if he were sitting here in the room. Like, okay, so let's say this year does not get better. Now you have a bad year. Well, if your process led to five consecutive good years and then one bad one, is it time to look at your process? Or is it time to just be like, well, so that didn't work this time. And there were a bunch of factors that we've all been talking out. We all understand the factors, whether it's emotional exhaustion, injuries, vibes, whatever the hell you want to get
to. Holdouts.
Yeah.
Play calling.
Like, I guess that's sort of my point and what I tried to say yesterday, which is that Kyle Shanahan is not having a good year. He's having a bad year. He's not a bad coach.
Agreed.
He's having a bad year. I don't take what I'm seeing this year to suddenly crater. And I hear this a lot. We're now cratering. We're going to just pick apart and act like all the things that have happened over the last 5 years didn't happen. And you're largely going to use as evidence that they lost to the Chiefs twice in February games. And I don't buy that. I don't think that this year and two losses to the Chiefs mean that Kyle Shanahan's a fraud.
No,
I don't. I just
that's
don't
too
think
strong,
that. Yeah.
But I also can look at it and see teams have now figured out how to scheme defensively against this offense. Teams are doing a better job of limiting this offense. This offense has been terrible in the red zone with McCaffrey, without McCaffrey. They still haven't been good. So I do think the defenses now, by and large, are trying to limit the big play, limit the yak, and make this offense go down the field 10, 12, 14 plays and score a touchdown, which they haven't really done this year. And I also look at a team that is getting old. Your left tackle, he held out, and he's not had a great year. He's been fine.
He's not been bad.
He's been good.
Right?
He's been good.
I can't think of any games where Brock's on the ground and I'm like, Trent.
No, but he is an older player who's committing more cheater penalties, where he's cheating early or he's lining up too far back because he's cheating.
Maybe he should go play for the Chiefs.
Maybe.
Where it's allowed.
Exactly. Those calls wouldn't happen. And unfortunately, he's wearing the wrong red jersey.
Yeah.
I look at a team that's getting older and a scheme that's getting solved. And so, yeah, we can talk about Kyle. He's not a fraud, but what's the adjustment, Kyle?
Yeah.
No, I'm not seeing it.
I think that's totally fair. So, again, what do you want to see at Lambeau Field? What do you want to see at the not-quite-yet-frozen Tundra this weekend that you haven't been seeing from the Niner offense? 888-957-9570, the number. GPD's on the line in Hayward. What's up, Grandpa Daddy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on?
You know what? I tell you what. In the morning, I take my daughter to school. I listen to Bonte. And then when I'm out in the middle of the day, I'm listening to Goo and Stymie. And now I'm picked up the scissor lift. I got to take it back to the rental, and I'm listening to you. One thing I want to know is do the Niners, do they have someone who listens to the critique of what they're doing? Like, you guys had a very good stat that you just said about Brock Purdy now not throwing the ball because McCaffrey's back, so he has a security blanket check down. You know what? When you're running a business, an organization, anything, you have, and it's not going well, you have to listen to your critics to see, what are you doing wrong? Do they have somebody listening to what's said on the radio? I mean, like, I'm going to give you guys credit, and don't let this get to your head. That
probably not.
So, but that's a very good observation. Why don't they have people check in the airways and see if they can learn about what they're doing wrong? Because right now, brother, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
No, GBD, thank you for the call. And it's an interesting question. I'll say this. I'm certainly nowhere near arrogant enough to think that we've got all the answers and the Niners need to be listening to us. I think they know a hell of a lot more about football than we do. But the other part of the question, do the Niners have somebody reviewing what the media and fans are saying publicly? I would say it in a more organic way, they do. Like, one thing I've learned through the years, especially when you hear athletes and coaches, I don't read the papers, I don't listen to the radio, I don't watch the TV. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Most of them do. I don't know if Kyle is actually one of them. He might not be. You can sort of tell when somebody is literally like locked themselves in a room for their entire life.
Yeah.
And he might be one of those guys.
Who do we know is the petty king?
Steph Curry?
Yes.
Steph Curry hears everything.
Exactly. And Clay heard everything. And these guys
like,
hear...
Like, what's up, Steph? He listening.
I'm shocked you talking to me.
Where are they right now? Where are they? Where's their next game?
It's home.
Right.
Home tomorrow.
So they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're listening. Hi, Steph.
Hey, Steph. Make a three, dog. You're open.
Well, stop. Although
that was a tough one. GP2 stop. Was the one who was open.
Well, and he got the shot, and it was at the buzzer, and that
shoot
was
your shot. That's all you got.
All
and
you
Steve
got.
Kerr reportedly was asking to call timeout there before the GP2-3. I'm going to ask him about that at 5 o'clock today.
5 o'clock. They didn't hear him. They didn't hear him.
And I wonder what that. And I'm going to ask him what
you
that's
just
like.
Dive
because
dive on the court.
Well, you have to stay in the coaching box. And if all three refs are on the other end, which they were,
and it's loud.
It's super loud.
Into it dome.
You get that wall of fans behind the bucket.
They were into it.
What's he supposed to do?
I mean, just
timeout, guys. I'd like a time.
Huck a red hanky at them.
Totally.
And they're like, wrong sport, coach.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll ask Steve all of that stuff. But anyway. Do the thoughts of the fans and the media and the critics and whatever, do they make their way into the 49er facility like any other? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't think that that means they're all supposed to now go do what we say. I don't know how to call a play in the NFL. You know, I can sit here and tell you that whatever the adjustments have been to what defenses are doing to the 49ers right now, they're not good enough. They're not pronounced enough. There are other players that I would like to see involved more. You know, not just Jordan Mason. I don't like that Ricky Pearsall only got 2 targets in that game. He might be their fastest receiver right now. Actually, I don't even think he might be. He definitely is. Jacob Cowing, but he's never on the field. So, like, that's what you got. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Yep.
You can't just, like, jam the ball to Juwan on every play or check down to Christian, which sort of feels like what they're doing. It does. It feels stale. It feels stagnant. My guess, though, is the 49ers know that. They know that. They know they lost.
Right.
And they know that they're not moving the ball. Now, what I don't know is if you're Kyle Shanahan, are you looking at this going, man, I have not adjusted my scheme enough? Or are you like, dude, we win that game if y'all stop holding and doing false starts?
I'm sure more the latter than the former.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking on that end.
Well, I would look at what he said yesterday in his teleconference where he mentioned that he can't remember another time where there was a drive that took 14 plays and had 8 plays across the other team's 50 that ended with a punt. It didn't end with a missed field goal or a touchdown or a turnover. It ended with a punt. And that was the second to last drive before the end of the first half where they held the ball and it was back it up, go forward, back it up. 3rd and 11, Juwan gets 12, back it up, go forward. 14-play drive, and you wound up punting because you had so many penalties and Banks was involved, and that might have been the double McKivitz or that might have been later. But offensively, you're making way too many mistakes with penalties. But the other piece of it is Ricky Pearsall, no catches, 2 targets. Deebo Samuel, and Grandy shared this on our show thread, he's one of only 3 running backs, ball carriers, with 25 or more carries on the year with a less than 3-yard average. 1 of 3.
That's crazy, too, because Deebo also, like, at least half of his carries come in a formation and such a way that's designed to get him the ball in space.
Right.
Deebo is not like other running backs who's often just being fed the ball right up the middle of the field. He is getting jet sweeps. He's getting tosses. He's getting misdirections that are designed to get him to the side of the field before the defense gets there. And that's an unbelievable average to be below 3 yards per carry.
And in this last game, his best carry, which I think would have gone for 7 yards, was called back because of a hold. Juwan Jennings on the edge where he just basically hugged up on a guy.
Also means he's broken none. Because the average goes way up. If you just like, oh, 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, 48 yards, touchdown. Your average goes through the roof.
He went 8 for 23 in the opener, and he's gone 2 for -10, 2 for 14, 3 for 9, 4 for 15, 4 for 15, 3 for 14, 1 for -1.
Crazy. So he hasn't had 20 yards rushing in a game since the opener.
He's had 1 run of 10 or more yards. 1 run.
God.
And it was against Tampa. He went for 12.
Dang.
His next longest was for 8 against New England, and then he's got a 7 and a couple of 6s and a 5. And
I got a hard time believing that Deebo just got old overnight. I know that that's the popular deal of the week. Oh, Debo's not the guy he used to be. I think it's
a mix of that and also defenses now seeing, oh, look, Deebo in jet motion. I wonder what's going to happen here.
They gave it to him. Like, you might be right. But first of all, I share what you just said there.
It's predictable, yeah.
But the second part of it is, I got this. So suddenly Christian doesn't look right, and Deebo doesn't look right, and whoever else you want. You know, I know Juwan is kind of new to the party having this big of a role, but like all of the sudden, all of them are just slower than they used to be. They all got old.
No, I don't think that's fair as a blanket statement, but Christian McCaffrey just played his 2nd preseason game.
Yep.
And that he had no preseason, and so you're asking him to hit the ground running, literally and figuratively, and he had 2 games so far, and they've been preseason-esque. He doesn't look like he's ready for the regular year, yet these games count. Deebo, I do think, looks a little bit sluggish. He doesn't look to be as forceful after contact. George Kittle being out absolutely crushes your offense. And then where else do you want to go? Eric Saubert is a blocker. Ricky Pearsall, as you said in the summer, he's a rookie. You can't expect him to go full Puka Nacua. Most rookies do this. Good game, okay game, quiet game, and then rinse and repeat. And who else are we talking about on this offense? Jordan Mason, mothballed. Ronnie Bell, Chris Conley, they don't throw to him.
Now we're getting people that are already.
What else are we doing here, right? Yeah. Oh, Juwan Jennings, monster. Yeah. Monster.
Yeah, but also not terribly open. He's just large, and he pulls the ball away from other people and then shoves them off of him. He's not running around wide open that often.
That's
sometimes. 888-957-9570. You know, what if we threw it at you this way? Like, big game in 5 days in Wisconsin, and just everything on the line. And so if you had 30 seconds to sit down in front of Kyle Shanahan and say something to him, what would you say?
Run 21 pony, which is two running backs, one tight end with Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey. Get Jordan Mason on the field. Run 21 pony. Okay. And I know you don't want to throw it to Mason, so go ahead and motion McCaffrey into the slot. So now you got Juwan and Debo and Kittle, hope he plays, and you've got Mason and McCaffrey. Those are your five best eligibles. Get those five on the field. Your laminated play sheet is gorgeous, second only to your hair. Get Jordan Mason the ball. Let him try to be impactful in the run game. Put McCaffrey in the Debo role. Put Debo in the Juwan role. Juwan's already in the Ayuk role. And let's go, baby. Run your offense.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that 30 seconds? Because I'm passionate about that.
I think you fit it. I think you fit it. Plus, like any set of meetings, like
you're about to buzz me up 31.7.
Plus or minus five. Okay. Yeah.
You can have a little extra time.
Granny's just mad at me because Fade the Dibber, I got a win last night. So everyone's down on me for actually getting one right.
Yeah. Why'd you do that?
Because you know what?
I thought you were a man of the people.
I'm about to get hot.
No, you're not.
The Thursday pick is in. Don't
even
get me started.
I don't know why you use that word. You haven't been hot since I've known you.
Like, I wear hoodies.
When the hell have you ever won three games in a row in the history of your life?
Well, I would tell you when, but Grandy, I can see, is opening up the spreadsheet, and he's about to say, no, Dibs, your best stretch was 3 out of 4, but it wasn't 3 in a row.
You won 3 in a row. Your second, third, and fourth picks of the year, actually.
Let's go.
But since then, you have
it wasn't 3-1.
He was 3-1.
LFG.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was.
I don't believe you.
The spreadsheet does not lie. I'm one game below.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. The Thursday pick is in, and I got something special for you Niner fans on Sunday.
Yeah. Stop it.
I got something special for you.
You have never won or lost more than 3 in a row.
Right.
Yeah.
Mr. Coin Flip. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. So in other words, you can go to Vegas for a full month and just come home with...
Break even.
Whatever the hell you ate.
Totally.
Like, I mean, all right, let's go to T.I. in Oakland. Again, if you had 30 seconds to talk to Kyle, what would you say? Hey, T.I.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
What's up?
Oh, not much. I'm kind of, Dibs kind of took my thought, but I'm going to say it anyway. I want to see a smorgasbord of personnel. I want to see Christian out there. I want to see Mason out there. You know, Debo, of course, if Kittle is healthy, him out there. But if Kittle is not healthy, what about Juszczyk in that position? They need to go for it, man. If they plan on making the playoffs, they need to do something different. And of course, the motions and the shifts. Kyle is a good play caller, man, but he just needs to energize his play calling with some different nuances, if you will. I think they have what they need, man. They just need to put it together this week.
All right, T.I., thank you very much. This is one thing that concerns me, and Brian Baldinger was on with the roast this morning, and so everyone this week is talking about that stat, like the lack of separation, and the guys aren't getting open, and you do look at the receiving core now, and this is why I would love to see Pearsall get a little bit more responsibility, because you look at the receiving core right now, and you're like, oh, I kind of get it. You know, who's going to beat man coverage? Debo's not a traditional receiver, and he's not the fastest, shiftiest guy. Juwan Jennings is a house, and he's fantastic, but that's also not his thing. Like, who's stretching the field? Who's pushing the ball downfield? Who's doing it with speed? Listen to what Baldy said about the Niners' lack of separation.
There's an old belief in this business. If you can't beat man coverage, you got to get new wide receivers. Juwan Jennings wins because of his size, not because of his separation. And he's very good at, you know, slow post basketball when the ball's in the air. So he had a good day. That's what I would do to Debo. Like, it, so if your guys are struggling to separate, then you've got to find different ways to get guys open, whether it's bunch formations, whether it's man beaters, crossers, stack routes. I mean, you've got to go in a different direction to get guys open. I would say that's part receivers and part Kyle right there.
Part Kyle right there. Yeah. Like, and
stackers,
so
crossers, rubs,
man,
bumps,
like whatever the hell you got in that hip pocket, it's time to bring it out. You're 5-5, and your playoff analytics are down to 15% if you lose on Sunday and you're an underdog for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah.
So, like, this is an empty the bucket game.
It's a desperation sensation.
Whatever the hell you got, man, you got to do it, and it has to not rely. It has to not rely on Debo Samuel outrunning a cornerback.
I do think a lot of it relies on George Kittle. And if he is unable to go, then you're going to have to find a new way to junk it up. And I look at the Seattle game, Mark, and just looking at the snap counts, Jalen Moore played 12 plays as the sixth offensive lineman. So you didn't have a true blocking tight end outside of Saubert. So you ran six O-linemen 12 times, and yet you still weren't really able to impact the ground game. And, you know, Saubert, for all he can do as a blocker, is not a pass catcher. So I just want to see you put your five best eligibles out there more often.
I mean, it sounded to me yesterday like when the answer about Kittle is we expect him to be at practice on Wednesday, it sounds like they're expecting him to play this weekend.
Yes. Yeah. And I can't imagine Kittle at Lambeau.
Come on.
I mean, right?
With the season on the brink.
Thank you. I can't imagine him not playing. Now, Bosa, different question.
Very different question.
And a different injury. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to say one injury versus the other, but
might need to outscore the Packers.
Yeah.
I know, and I don't mean that in the stupid way.
Now go ahead and cut that, Grandy. That was astute.
You might have to win an offensive shootout.
Exactly. With 30. Because they can score now.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. A little Herm for it.